He's got a beautiful backswing.
Dad, oh, he got all of that one.
Oh my gosh.
That is amazing.
Layup with an iron into the hazard.
Well, that wasn't quite what I meant, you know?
What's up, everybody? Welcome into another edition of the 73rd Hole. Colby Powell and Taylor Williams with you. Hit us up on social media. Search 73rd Hole on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The field this week at the Rocket Mortgage Classic is, what happened was, all the elite players played the first 3 weeks and decided not to go to Detroit, Michigan. I would imagine that a lot of the big names will be taking this week and next week off and then coming back for the Memorial after playing the first 3 weeks to start the season. But what you had the strength of field pulled up, Taylor, for last week at the Travelers versus this week at the Rocket Mortgage. Give me the strength of field, if you will.
Yeah, so strength of field. So we'll go back on it. So last year, strength of field at the Rocket Mortgage, and we had even made announcements and talked about how even last year's field wasn't that good. The last year's strength of field rating was a 276. So, you know, we compare this to like Paul Azinger Comet, you know, like the Abu Dhabi and some of those Omega Dubai Desert, all that stuff. Those get over 300 strength of field ratings. So technically, those fields for the Fisher World Golf rankings are ranked better than this event was last year.
But Mark Wilson.
Yeah, Mark Wilson's a hell of a player, and you know, he's who you think about. So we go back and we look on, since the tour came back at Colonial, the strength of field at the Charles Schwab was 651, which, as we just seen, is more than double of what it was last year at the Rocket Mortgage, and that's up in the same range. It's higher than the Arnold Palmer was this year. Right around the same range, maybe a little lower than the World Golf Championship. So, obviously, very elite competition. Very next week, RBC Heritage got a 647, which is right around the same range, only 4-point difference. Last week at the Travelers was 565, so you notice we got a little bit of a dip there, but still 565 is right about where I think that's exactly where the Arnold Palmer was, which is always known as one of the best fields of the year. Mm-hmm. And now this week at the Rocket Mortgage, our strength of field is a 297.
Woo! 297.
Which is 20, if I'm doing the math right, what was that, 21 spots higher than it was last year? And for it to be, you know, the fourth event back on the tour is kind of a little surprising. Last week, or on our last show, we were talking about how this field is a little bit less than it had been, but to look at the strength of field and to realize that it's that much lower than these first three events is pretty shocking to me, Colby.
Can you imagine what the strength of field would be if Bryson and Webb weren't playing?
Oh, man.
Can you imagine if either one of them has to withdraw today or tomorrow? Strength of field goes to 150.
There's a chance of that, yeah. And we made that point last week about how Koepka and Webb both withdrew from the Travelers, so that brought that field down. So that probably would have been even higher up. And yeah, I mean, we've seen Harry English tested positive earlier in the week, so he had to withdraw. He was one of the more expensive guys on DraftKings and had been playing well. So obviously, you know, aside from the fact that it's just horrible, someone has the virus, you know, that's a good player who's not going to be in the field. And it is a little, you know, to phrase it the right way, you know, it sucks to see all these players coming out like this. And I wonder, you know, like you mentioned, Colby, how maybe these next 2 weeks will be a little stagnant before the Memorial comes back. And I just hope that maybe with all of these players coming out and testing positive, I hope it's not scaring players away from wanting to come back. Maybe I hope that's not the reason that we're seeing this field be as low as it is.
Yeah, I hope not, and I don't think it is. I don't think that there's a huge appeal for guys. You know, there's really no tournament history here. It's been there 1 year. It's in Detroit. You got to travel up north, and I don't think that this tournament was ever going to draw a very big field. Now, obviously, COVID-19, the situation is tough. We were talking the withdrawal this week, tested positive. Why can't I remember?
Harris English
tested positive. Chad Campbell, who was an alternate and was going to get in, he tested positive. I was curious, did you see the story about Charlie Reimer?
No, I didn't.
Golf Channel's Charlie Reimer?
I haven't heard about that.
Yeah, I was just reading about it this morning. So he actually was hospitalized with COVID-19, and he is now back home.
That's good.
Yeah, he described the virus as strong and his fight very scary. Said his body temperature got up to 104.7 and he struggled to breathe. He wasn't allowed visitors, and he said that he spent his nights lying in the hospital bed wondering if he would ever leave.
Wow.
And now he's very happy to be home. So,
definitely great that he is home. I mean, that's the number one thing here. And, you know, we're seeing all these players get tested positive. And, you know, we sit back on the sidelines and we talk about how it can impact the game and all these tournaments going forward. But, I mean, it's real people. You just mentioned there. He didn't know if he was ever going to leave. He couldn't have any visitors. I mean, these are very scary situations, you know. Yeah. And I mean, neither one of us know Charlie on a personal level. But, you know, on his show, he always seemed like a really great guy and always very outgoing. So I'm assuming he's a class act individual. So, and I've never heard a bad word about him. So, you know, obviously bad things happen to good people, but it is just a blessing that he is back home. But yes, for everyone out there listening, just put in perspective, you know, we hear these names withdrawing, caddies getting the virus, having to have them and their players withdraw. Just realize that you know, even if you know, wanting to bet or do anything like that, these people are individuals and that they have families who they are trying to protect as well. So there's a lot more that goes into these decisions than just trying to hit a golf ball down the middle of the fairway.
Yeah, exactly. And one thing to keep in mind too is, you know, we talk about these young athletes and we think about Bryson and, you know, Tony Finau and these guys. Not everyone in the game of golf is 25 and healthy and strong. Yeah. You know, Charlie Reimer's 52. VJ's in the field this week. VJ's, what, 57, 58? Mm-hmm. It's not all young people who can just get this virus, fight it off quickly, and bounce back out there. So definitely keeping everyone in our thoughts who's dealing with COVID-19 right now. But looking ahead to the field this week at the Rocket Mortgage, obviously Bryson is a runaway favorite in this deal. I'm showing right now on my bookie, his odds are down to 6-1 as the favorite to win this golf tournament. Let me ask you this. Did you see him detail his meal plan?
I did. I don't have it exactly in front of me. I want to see if I can get it right. Okay. I know the one that really stuck out to me was the 3 protein shakes and during the round of golf. But one thing, does it say the milligram of protein on there by any chance, or does it just say protein shake?
It just says protein shake.
Because that's a very important thing. If your body takes in so much protein more than it needs, and all it will just get out. It'll just get out of your body. So it's not like, but for someone as big as Bryson, he needs to be able to put on those pounds. And I remember, so it's a total of 5 protein shakes in the day, right? Or is it 6?
6.
2 in the morning? Or 2 in the afternoon?
2 in the morning. So he's got a 2-1 carb to protein ratio. That's what he's going for every day. 2-1 carb to protein. So in the morning, he wakes up, he has 4 eggs, 5 pieces of bacon, a piece of toast, and 2 protein shakes. That's breakfast.
Yeah.
That's breakfast. So that just, you know, gets you started for the day. Light on your feet.
God dang, if I eat a third of that, I feel like I'd be carrying 300 pounds on my body for the rest of the day.
Let's say this. White pants are out of the question.
Yeah, that is the best point I've heard about that diet plan yet.
So then on the course, he goes out to practice and play, gets on the course. He has a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and a protein drink every 6 holes.
So 3 PB&J sandwiches and 3 protein shakes.
Bingo. That's, on the course.
excuse me. And I remember back during college when we would play, you know, I'd play 36 holes and I wouldn't even eat that much during 2 rounds of competition, not even close to that, let alone now Bryson's having to do that. But it also shows, I wish it would show in there. I'd be interested to see how much his workout routine has changed since competition has started compared to, you know, the off season,
good
you
question.
Know, because obviously a lot was accounted for, you know, how much he was working on and how much I believe he was eating even way more than that during the off or
I think
I,
he was.
I quote off season the break or
the
however.
Bulking up phase, if you will. Because now he's in the maintenance phase.
Exactly. Yeah.
But he was in the bulking up phase, which is
it's very hard. Yeah, very intense, and you have to monitor it and eat probably 5 times as much as you listed there. And so, you know, one thing, you know, just for me playing, you might feel the same way, Colby. You know, if I you know, for most players that play, their meal during a round of golf is stop at the clubhouse after 9 and grab a burger or hot dog and then go off to the tent tee. You know, it's not necessarily the most healthy alternative, you know. And for someone, even me, you know, if the only thing that, like, if I eat anything like that during a round, like, I can't even hardly play the next few holes because my stomach feels so weighed down. And it's like, for me, the only thing I can eat is like a granola bar or maybe a protein shake. I could drink one of those. So I think it's fascinating that someone can put that much energy into their, or so much food into their body. And I remember I was scrolling through one of the social media platforms. I can't remember which one off the top of my head. And it was Lexi Thompson. She got a tip from Tiger, and Tiger's tip to her was to try to eat about every 6 holes, eat as much as you can. And I think that's something that's very underrated and very important. And looking back on hindsight for me, I wish I would have ate more, but you know, it's not about how much, it's about what you eat. So, I mean, right. if he's, if, Bryson was eating, instead of three protein shakes, he was eating three hot dogs in the round, he probably wouldn't have as good a performance.
Yeah, the way I like to do it whenever I have a tournament out at the Greens, probably how I'll do it at the Valley this weekend in Chickasha at Bushwood, is every six holes, so I make a sandwich before the round, cut it in half, have half a sandwich after number six, have half a sandwich after number 12. Because I'm not a very big guy, about 5'8", 140. So if I eat too much, it bogs me down, bogs my stomach down a little bit. But
so you're like one half of a big person.
Yes, I found the half sandwich method after six holes to be pretty effective. Gives you that extra little bit of energy, but doesn't weigh you down and make you feel bloated like you can't swing the golf club. So anyway, but Bryson's not done. Because, you know, all we've done is just now get on the course, play a quick 18. Now we've got to go practice.
Now, you got practice, and the post-round recovery is probably more important than even getting it started, in my opinion.
Yeah, so he says that while he's practicing, he just snacks. Didn't really detail it. Said that he snacks while he's practicing. So, snacks after the round while he's practicing. And then, for dinner, every day, he has steak and potatoes for dinner and two shakes, two protein shakes every day for dinner.
Does it say the size of steak?
It does not.
Or the cut of steak. These are very important things. I mean, not necessarily for the diet, but just for our curiosity, because a 6-ounce steak is different than an 18-ounce steak.
He strikes me as a 16-ounce ribeye guy.
He does, yeah, pretty much, yeah. That's
good.
Maybe even more than that.
Yeah, I don't think he's popping out a 6-ounce filet.
Maybe not. That's not getting the job done.
No, not so much. So he estimates total that he eats 6 to 7 protein shakes a day and consumes an additional 3,000 to 3,500 calories a day.
For the muscles and the fuel, and for that's why I'm so curious about what his exercise is now compared to what it was during the hiatus, because, you know, that's a lot of fuel to be putting on your body. And if he's not,
you got to burn it.
You have to burn it. And not just, I mean, obviously you burn a lot of calories walking and playing around in golf and swinging, getting ball speed over 200 miles an hour to create, does some sort of exercise, but putting all that fuel in your body, you have to burn it somewhere, or else he's just going to look like John Daly before it's all said and done, you know, if he's just sitting around not doing anything.
Yeah, and what John Daly had was not bulk.
No, he had, his famous line was he never got injured because he had fat, and you can't tear fat.
You can't tear fat.
You can't tear fat. So
he, I think that if we were to have a breakdown of John Daly's regimen throughout the day, it would be wake up, go to Hooters, have a couple beers and some wings, go play 9, stop back off at Hooters, have a couple beers and some wings, 9 more, Hooters, beers, wings, practice, Hooters, beers, wings, maybe quick nap, Hooters, beers, wings.
And you know what? He's probably shooting about 4 or 5 under every 9. He's probably loving every minute of it.
By the way, that's 2-time major champion.
2-time major champion. Let's not forget that. So
one more than Dustin Johnson, by the way.
God, that's crazy.
If DJ never wins another major and finishes with less than John Daly, we got problems.
That is a super funny analogy.
He's just way too talented to have one major.
I hadn't thought about it like that. Well, you mentioned other players who have won, you know, multiple majors that we don't think about, like Angel Cabrera, Padraig Harrington's won 3 major championships.
Padraig won back-to-back.
Back-to-back.
And then Tiger didn't play.
Yeah, asterisk by it.
Yeah,
but nevertheless, so yeah, we'll get back to the Bryson thing. You had him at 6-1. We've seen some places have him off at 7-1. Next closest I've seen is someone like Webb at 11-1. And then even after that, the drop off goes to 16-1, I believe, with Hatton and Patrick Reed.
Yeah, I'm actually getting this morning on my bookie, I've got Webb at 12-1. So a little better value there. And then at 16 is Tyrrell Hatton and Patrick Reed. And then the only other players this side of 20-1 is Hideki at 18-1. And actually, Victor Hovland now, his odds have moved. On Monday when we recorded, he was 22-1. Victor Hovland's now 18-1. So either some smart money or some big money's come in on Victor Hovland this week. And I don't know that I like him to win, but I do like Victor. You know, he's a local guy, so obviously we like Victor. We have a little more of a connection to Victor with him being an Oklahoma State guy. But, I mean, 18-1, he's got the tied for fifth best odds in this field. He's got better odds this week to win than Sung J.M. He's 15 spots higher in terms of like 18-1. Then you go 33-1 to get to Ricky Fowler and Tony Finau. I mean, I hate to say this, but I think Victor Hovland's a little bit overvalued. I don't think there's a ton of value there at 18-1.
I don't think Vegas is taking into account the Puerto Rico Open curse.
Oh, no doubt.
You know, because
I mean, Tony Finau, where he be now, he's still being Puerto Rico celebrating the championship, and now he's 33-1 at the Rocket Mortgage with a field strength of 290.
I mean, it's – and going back to the Hovland thing, you know, he – while – spoiler alert, I think I am going to pick him in my one and done pool, so I'm going to try to talk him up the best I can here. So, you know, he's played the three events since we've come back, Colonial, Heritage, and Travelers last week, and his worst finish has been a T23. And from what I saw, he was, I don't have it exactly in front of me because I saw it on social media, he was either second or third best of all the players that had played all three events in relative to par. So
third best. Bryson, Abraham Anser, and then Hovland.
Okay, yeah, so there you go, right there. So he's third there, and so, like I said, obviously the other name you mentioned there is of the clear runaway favorite in Bryson, and I don't believe Anser's in the field, is he?
Abe's not in the field this week. I should point out, fourth on that list is Daniel Berger, was forced to WD last week out of an abundance of caution due to COVID. Had Daniel Berger played last week, it's likely that he would be third on that list because he's only, I think, maybe one or two strokes behind Victor through the first 3 weeks and didn't even get to play the third week.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, Victor, he's playing phenomenal golf. I'm just saying the one that really kind of surprises me is that he has better odds to win this week than Sungjae Im. And I just don't really see how Hovland is a better play to win a golf tournament than Sungjae.
Well, and even, you know, we'll go away from the odds and go even over the DraftKings value. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Hovland is the sixth most expensive. There are six guys that are above or at 10,000 or above, and he is exactly 10,000. And you mentioned Sungjae Im right below him at 9,800. Ricky Fowler, who we give a lot of smack to, but still a big name, 9,500.
Well, but keep in mind, this is the Rocket Mortgage Classic. Rocket Mortgage is a big sponsor of Ricky Fowler, and Ricky is notorious for missing the cut whenever he plays at the Farmers, which is also a big Ricky Fowler sponsor. So,
I'm sure his sponsors really appreciate that when he does that.
Ricky Fowler last year at the Rocket Mortgage Classic, 46th.
At least he was able to make a check.
And he's missed two cuts in two events since the restart.
And I want to address this point before we get into some more of our picks, because we were scrolling through and we were talking about this before the pre-show. So a big name out there who hasn't played very good golf at all recently, but is a big name for some of the friends that he had, and he came out and got a big start, was old Smiley Kaufman. And you know, he was notorious for going on the trip with Jordan, Spieth, JT, and Ricky. So he was kind of known as that group because he was also a young gun too. And we pulled it up earlier because I was looking at the leaderboard for last year's event, because that's really when we're handicapping this tournament and course experience, that's all we had to go on, because this is only the second year of the event. So, you know, we don't have much course experience to go off of. So I'm scrolling down, seeing, you know, who made the cut, who didn't. And I see down here, Smiley Kaufman made the cut. He finished the tournament at even par. The next best was 4 under par. So he was a little bit off. Looks like here I'm looking at, he shot an 80 in the third round. So not very good.
Yikes.
So the reason I bring this up is because I went to go check, because, you know, it's kind of not necessarily a meme, but, you know, obviously Smiley's lost his game from where he was and he's trying to get it back. It hasn't gone necessarily his way, but on every single, you go to the official World Golf Rankings, you pull up Smiley Kaufman, for the exception of a T27 in the Australian Open last year, this is his only made cut in the last 2 years for
that
Smiley.
That is incredible.
Is that
incredible?
Not,
I mean,
to think about where he was, what was that trip? 3 or 4 years ago when it happened?
Four,
something like that.
And now he can't even play the weekend.
Yeah, now he's, I don't even know how much status he has anymore, because he won how many, you know, two and a half years ago now.
Shows you how fickle golf is, man. It's not a fair game.
No, it's not.
It does not care about your feelings. It doesn't care what you accomplished the last time you played. Golf's ruthless.
And, you know, they were talking last week about Brendan Todd and how he got the driver yips, and they mentioned, like, Laura Davies had the driver yips. You know, these players were able to come back, and, you know, hopefully Smiley's able to do that too. I just thought that was a kind of interesting tidbit that this had been his only made cut in the last 2 years besides the Australian Open that he played in. So going back onto the handicapping side of things.
You think Paul Azinger thinks the Australian Open has a very good field?
I pull up exactly what the ranking is, but if it's not a PGA Tour event, then it shouldn't count.
Well, I mean, here's the measuring stick. Did Mark Wilson ever win the Australian Open?
Oh,
I hate the fact that Mark Wilson's our punching bag now, because I feel like he's a totally nice guy, but Azinger ruined it.
He did. And I think it's funny that, you know, like, we can still keep talking about these things, because, I mean, that's how, you know, impactful and polarizing that comment that Azinger said, because it's something that we can debate till the end of time, because there's so many great golfers that are going on around the world. And, you know, we'll sit down and we'll try to handicap this term a little bit more. Like we said, it's slightly disheartening that I'm not seeing a few more bigger names play. with, you know, like strength of field, not even being up in the 300 when the lowest the last 3 weeks has been is 565. So we're seeing a decent amount of drop off here. So for example, you know, last week there was a lot of, we talked about some value in DraftKings because there's so many players down there, and you know, especially my picks weren't necessarily as good as they wanted to be. And this week seemed to be even a little bit tougher to find some bottom of the barrel guys, just because they're, I mean, obviously great players, you know, like for example, even defending champion Nate Lashley, who won by six shots last year, is 6,600 on DraftKings, or yeah, 6,600 on DraftKings, and 150 to one odds to win the tournament. So it just kind of goes to show, you know, exactly kind of, and we pulled up the leaderboard last year for the tournament, some of the names that were up there. So we're looking at Nate Lashley, Doc Redman, Wes Roach, Rory Sabatini, Joaquin Neiman's pretty big name, and then Patrick Reed, Snedeker, and then some other names around here. Ted Potter, Bryant Stewart, Cameron Tringali, Seb Straka, Ben Ahn's up there, JT Poston. So even last year, you know, you're not seeing these huge names up there contending. So it's just going to be interesting to see how exactly the week plays out and to see who, what type of game fits it, because it seemed like last year, you know, I remember watching the final round and Lashley just kind of, he just kind of coasted in, you know. Normally you'll see players who haven't really been there before kind of falter down the stretch, and he wasn't doing that.
So won by six.
Won by six, yeah. To show the minerals that he had to be able to keep it going and focus, I thought was fantastic. And it was actually, you know, it was interesting for me to watch it back then to see, you know, like that's really cool that he was able to do that. So, you know, the point of me saying all this is that while it's not the most stacked field, we saw someone last week, it's a player that we probably both like this week, Will Gordon, who no one was even talking about before the round, essentially anyone who didn't really know college golf because he was such a great collegiate player, and he finishes solo third and earns the tour status the rest of the year. So, you know, some of these guys can come out of nowhere really to play well, and I wouldn't be surprised if someone does do that. It just, we're going to try to see if we can find out who those players will be.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Let's take a break. We'll come back on the other side. We'll give you all of our best DraftKings value, betting value. One thing about playing in a tournament with a weak field, you know, you can get a relative unknown come up and win the golf tournament. So you can find some real value if you know where to look. So we're going to have all the best DraftKings value, betting value. We're going to give you our one and done picks as well as our optimal DraftKings lineups. I've got all six of my bets this week already placed. I'm playing six golfers this week, so I'll give you all of those as well. That's all coming up. Stay with us here on the 73rd hole.
When something the size of a golf ball hits your roof, you need to call McRae Roofing. McRae Roofing is Oklahoma's designer roofing service specialist. For years, Jeff McRae and the experienced team at McRae Roofing and Exteriors have served fellow Oklahomans by helping them with their roofing needs. McRae Roofing uses only top quality materials and professional crews to make sure that each job is done right, so it will give you the years of service, security, and protection you need from the unpredictable Oklahoma weather. McRae Roofing offers residential and commercial roofing, ventilation services, and custom copper designs. McRae Roofing is dedicated to exceeding the homeowner's expectations. It's not just a roof, it is your home's crowning glory. Call McRae Roofing today at 405-692-4000. That's 405-692-4000. Make sure to also visit their website at mcraeroofing.com. That's M-C-R-A-Y roofing.com. Don't get caught with a leaking roof. Contact McRae Roofing for your free inspection today.
Welcome back to the 73rd hole. Colby Powell and Taylor Williams with you as always. Looking forward to the Rocket Mortgage Classic this week. Also looking forward to the Ouachita Valley at Bushwood down in Chickasha. Taylor and I are in the field. I'll be honest, strength of field for the Valley, I think I saw it at a 293, actually.
It's getting up there. There's a lot of players.
What's the Rocket Mortgage again? Was it 292?
297, I believe.
297. Okay, I think the Valley's was 298.
Yeah, it was. It's getting up there. The waiting list was extensive. I've heard they've had a couple of dropouts in there, so a few more spots were able to open up. And tournament starts on Friday, so you know we're getting this out there on Wednesday. So if you have an opportunity to go down and play, it's going to be a hell of a time, a chance to win a lot of great prizes. Give them a call down there and see if you can get signed up, because
you can do is call.
Yeah, and see if you can get a spot. It's going to be great tournament. Got some practice round stuff going on tomorrow. I'm actually more than likely heading down today to try to get an extra practice round in, and to make sure exactly I'm getting everything dialed in the way that it needs to be. And so, like I said, give them a call, try to get signed up. It's going to be a great time. You won't be disappointed.
Yeah, I was playing too much golf. So the last time I touched the clubs was Friday, and I'm not touching them again until tomorrow in the practice round. I'm going to go out late tomorrow afternoon, evening, and just try to get the speed of the greens down and get the feel and you know, sometimes whenever you're playing too much golf, you just need a few days away from the clubs.
Yeah, so. You've had the physical therapy, and all I've done is putted a chip since Friday because I'm having some back issues. So we're trying to, you know, like I said, we're 27, but we're more like Tiger than we want to be because we're taking care of our body more than we are necessarily our game. But if the body's not acting right, if we can't get the glutes activated, then there's no way that we're going to be able to play well.
Really, the only thing I've been focused on the last 4 days is activating my glutes.
Yeah,
because I just want to be ready for the Valley. Yeah. You can't do that if your glutes aren't activated.
No, if your glutes aren't activated, you're not going to do it. But nevertheless, give them a call, get signed up, just see if there's any spots available. I think the only flight that currently has any availability is Championship. So play Championship.
Yeah,
come on, bring it on, baby, bring it on. It's going to
be a coward.
Going to be a good time. And
like me?
There's a lot of good players that are already signed up. So it'll be, if you enjoy competition, fun time, and good people, then this is the place to be.
Also, should note, 15,000 in prizes.
Yeah, that's the incentive right there, baby.
Bingo, bango, bongo. 15,000 in prizes. Also, if you make a hole-in-one in the Valley and you let us know about it, we'll send you a 73rd hole hat.
So
you got to make an ace.
So aim at the pin. Aim at the pin.
Aim at the pin.
So
threes and par fours.
So anyone that's playing in our flights, they like to tuck the pin sometimes. So aim at it and miss short-sided. That way you make stupid bogeys, and then we'll have even a better chance.
Bingo. But it's worth it for that hat.
It is. It really is.
It's worth sacrificing,
you made a hole-in-one, too.
It's worth sacrificing 15,000 in prizes for your 73rd hole hat.
Correct.
Yeah. Because it's a piece of
priorities. Priorities.
Absolutely. So let's get back to the golf this week. Rocket Mortgage Classic. Where you want to start? You want to start with DraftKings?
We usually start with DraftKings. The ideal DraftKings lineup?
I mean, if we're going to do the ideal DraftKings lineup, then I should probably give mine first. Or we could alternate like we did last week.
We can do that. My lineup last week was not the best. Obviously, the only guy that really did well was DeChambeau.
Bubba killed me.
A lot of people had him, and he was like kind of like you said. You're trying to go with these guys who seem like surefire picks, then all of a sudden they just come out and lay an egg, and that's what golf is. I mean, you know, we talk about Bubba did lay an egg. He missed the cut by one. Had he made one more putt in the first two rounds, he could have had a hot weekend and finished top 10. You just never know. So you know, that's just how minute this game is. But nevertheless, I do think our picks this week will be better than last week, to say the least.
Why don't we do this week? Last week we went most expensive to least expensive. Why don't we go cheapest to most expensive this week?
Let's do it.
You can go first. Give me your cheapest player on DraftKings.
I'll go cheapest. So normally I try to build my lineups top heavy a lot of times, especially these last couple weeks because the fields have been so stacked and I want those top guys. Last week I had DeChambeau and JT. Obviously JT let me down big time. DeChambeau did pretty well. So
when one of the three best players in the world misses the cut by six shots, there's not a lot you can do about that.
And had finished top 10 in both of the events before You know, had looked good, had a fun time commentating on the Tiger Field thing. So I felt like he was in form, proved not to be the case. Should have went with Rory, should have known that Colonial and Harbor Town didn't really fit Rory's game, and TPC River Highlands definitely did more. So should have went with Rory there, but hindsight's always 20/20. So getting into it, my cheapest guy is the 7,000 mark. Couple guys around there that I liked. Obviously, friend of the show Taylor Gooch is right around that mark. Unfortunately, he hasn't had the last 2 weeks hadn't been exactly like he wanted to, and I have to keep the same rule for everyone. If you've missed a couple cuts in the row, I don't pick him. It's kind of like a stock. If a stock keeps going down, I'm not going to invest in it, unfortunately. But I do believe Taylor's going to turn it around sooner rather than later. So I'm going to go with the guy who's made the cut in the three events that has come back, and that's Tyler Duncan.
You're stealing my Tyler Duncan.
Yeah.
Well, you're doing on my Tyler Duncan. Well, I've been running Tyler Duncan out every week. I was running Tyler Duncan out before running Tyler Duncan out was cool.
I think you're probably right on that. So, I mean, looking at it, he's finished 38th, 28th, and 32nd in the events back.
And he's still mega cheap on DraftKings.
And still mega cheap on DraftKings. So, I think that is more along the safer bet. But I would not be surprised.
Did he play here last year?
He did miss the cut. So if we were going to go off course experience, our friend of the show, Taylor Gooch, actually finished T17 last year. So I just, so he actually may even be another guy to go with. So honestly, for me, it was a flip of the coin type thing. And so I went with a guy who has been able to play the weekend. But I do think Taylor's going to rebound pretty soon.
Yeah, my cheapest golfer this week on DraftKings is Tyler Duncan.
Okay, so that's
just about every week.
That makes it pretty non-interesting.
He's just been consistent. Been playing good golf.
It's one of those things you just got to ride it until it goes off, you know?
Yeah,
until,
bingo.
So that's gone. So you want me to go next? Or you want to go?
Let's do a little snake draft here.
Snake draft.
All right.
Get ready for fantasy football season coming up in a couple months.
So 7,100, I've got Sebastian Munoz. Now hear me out here. Sebastian Munoz, he likes a birdie fest. He doesn't like U.S. Open conditions. He likes a birdie fest. His one win was at the Sanderson Farms earlier this year, finished at 18 under. All six of his top 15s this year are at events that had winning scores of 16 under or lower.
Okay.
And he's gained more than 2.5 strokes on approach the last 2 weeks at Travelers and Heritage. He's on form. He likes a birdie fest. He's 7,100. Give me Sebastian Munoz.
Cheap. A winner this year has finished, I believe he's finished, how many? He's finished top 10 quite a bit, I believe, a few times. So, I mean,
I don't have his top 10s. I know six top 15s. Yeah,
six top 15s. Yeah, so he's kind of one of those hit or miss type players, you know. So when he's
definitely. 11 of 18 on cuts made.
Yeah, so when he's on, he's on. When he's off, he's off. So I think that's a pretty solid pick and really good value, 7,100. I really like that pick there. So I'll go with that. So my next cheapest will be 7,300. I think he'll be a really popular pick this week, not just in DraftKings. I think people may even bet him on your side. You may have the odds in front of you, Kobe. But finished solo third last week, like we mentioned. Will Gordon, I was kind of surprised that he was still that cheap, seeing the form that we saw last week. I think that he is the type of player to, now that he got his status, had he won the tournament, I wouldn't be as high on him just because, you know, there'd be the celebration and the, you know, all that stuff that's going on. But he finished third. It's almost like a security blanket now because he knows that he doesn't have to go out there and stress so much because he knows he's going to be able to play the next week and the next week and the next week until the season ends. So I think that's going to free him up a little bit. And at 7,300 from the form that I saw last week, for him to have the minerals to hit that shot on 18, and there, he obviously missed a short putt on 17, but did it hit it in there to less than 3 feet, Dickie, on 18 to essentially seal the deal. He didn't know that at the time, but it did for him. And so I think that takes a lot of guts, and I think that's going to keep transcending into this week.
Yep. Who you got as your next one? Snake Draft.
Oh, Snake Draft. Okay. Yep, you're right. So then 7,300, let me see here. My next cheapest would be, I was debating between a couple of guys here right around this mark, but I went with 7,900, Brent Snedeker. He finished, I believe he finished fifth last year. Yep, I'm going to triple check there. Yep. So yeah, there was a kind of a log jam there at fifth, just because that's kind of what happens in these birdie fests. You know, for example, minus 17 was T5th and minus 16 was T11, you know, so that's a lot of difference in money and FedEx points, but it's one stroke. So for 7,900, Snedeker made the cut last week, finished fifth here last year. Like we mentioned, don't have a whole lot to go off of per se, just because of the fact that this tournament's only been played for 1 year. But from, like I said, made the cut last week, missed the cut at the RBC before that, but I kind of liked what I saw. He had to, on Friday when I was watching, he had to make a little bit of a move to make the cut, and he did. He was able to make a couple birdies down the stretch to get inside that cut line, and I think that gave him a little bit of motivation going forward, and with having the success like he had here last year, he seems like a fairly good value at that price.
Yeah, I like that. You can tell I'm going top heavy because I've gone 7,000, 7,100. Now I'm at 7,200, okay. And at 7,200, I've got my guy Siwoo Kim, a guy who is, he can flash. He's not going to be consistent. He's not going to go out and make you a cut every single week, finish T25, but he's a guy who can flash and win a golf tournament. Likes Donald Ross designs. It's tough to pick Siwoo Kim because you're really taking a risk, but in a weak field on a Donald Ross course, I like Siwoo Kim. I like the value at 7,200. So we've got Siwoo at 7,200. My next cheapest, we're jumping up to 8,000. Another guy who likes him a birdie fest. That's my close personal friend, Eric Van Rooyen. Okay. Eric Van Rooyen likes a birdie fest. He was good at WGC Mexico. Heritage, he's been good at in the past. Abu Dhabi, other European tour events that force you to go low. He likes that. He likes to go low. He's one of the better ball strikers in the world. He's probably maybe the 10th to 12th best player in this field, and he's got the 23rd best odds. So I think you're getting some value on Eric Van Rooyen this week.
Since the return competition, missed the cut of the Charles Schwab, but did finish 21st at Harbortown, did not play last week. So it's not like he's playing horribly, and I feel like that's pretty good value for someone who's ranked as high as he is in the world golf rankings.
I like Birdie Fest guys. I mean, if you notice the trend this week, it's guys that can go low and make birdies and putches.
And then and from what we saw last year with Lashley winning it, I want to get the official score, 25 under.
Yeah.
And then second place was 19, then proceeded with two guys at 18. Then we mentioned the long list at 17 under. So, yeah, I think this is going to be a birdie fest, to say the least. And so did you give your two picks or is it not my turn?
One more. So 9,000 now I'm jumping up, and I'm taking Scottie Scheffler.
Okay.
Scottie Scheffler. I still don't like Texas, for the record. Still don't like Texas. This is not an endorsement of Texas in any way. Horns down. But Scottie Scheffler, birdie guy, top 10 this year in birdies or better gained. And, you know, driving accuracy, not a real big deal here. I like Scottie Scheffler to come in and have a chance to win the golf tournament this week. So I'll take him at 9K.
Yeah, funny story about Scottie Scheffler. I'll mention this. He's 3 or 4 years younger than I am, and I actually played in an AJGA with him down in Abilene, Texas.
Really?
And it was in the final round. And this, at the time, this Scottie's known because he's a big, tall guy now and can hit it out there a mile. But when I played with him, I believe I was 17 and he was 13. And I was hitting it about 50 by him, but he hit the fairway every single time, made every putt. He shot 67, I shot 72, kicked my ass big time.
Wow.
And I could tell at that point that this kid was going to be a stud. And I thought, I didn't necessarily know that he would grow up to be the 6'3" monster that he is, you know, at the time, but to see a kid, you know, that young, see the potential that he had was really cool. So I like that pick there, and he has done nothing but show his prowess.
You've given four, right?
I've given three.
You've given three. Okay, so give me two more.
So two more. So I'm going with guy that I pick a lot of weeks and has been playing good. My friend Christian Bazinghout. So and
Bazinghout.
Yeah, I am, and you know, it may just be a name thing, but I like it. He missed the cut at Charles Schwab. His first event back, finished 28th at the RBC. Did not play last week, but you know, like I said, whenever he's top 50 player in the world, I just think that. Like I said, it's kind of a birdie fest, and whenever he can find good players, and like I said, if I was going extremely top heavy, if there was a couple more guys up at the top that I would want to pair with him, then maybe I wouldn't stay around this range. But for 8,300, I like Bazinghout, and I believe you had the odds. You looked up; he was around 55-1. I think he may even be a guy that you might want to potentially lay a small amount of coin on, because I think his breakthrough is coming sooner rather than later.
Yeah, he's 55-1, 8,300 on DraftKings, which is the 18th highest price on DraftKings. So that's probably appropriately priced for a guy who's been playing some pretty good golf.
Yeah,
so.
And for a top, like I said, top 50 player in the world. I'll go with that. So then my next best guy is a guy who's fairly expensive, but he's been playing well and finished third here last year. I'm going with Rory Sabatini at 8,800. He, like I said, finished third here last year, was a stroke off a second, was a lot off of first, obviously, with Lashley going out there. But he did not play last week, but he finished 14th at the Charles Schwab, and he finished 21st at RBC Heritage. So I'm going to, seems like he's in pretty good form. So I'm going to go ahead and roll with Sabatini, someone who's in form and played good here last year for less than 9K. I'm going to take it.
Yeah, it's pretty good. By the way, if you've been keeping track at all of my budget, then you know that I have a lot of money remaining for one golfer on DraftKings. Ben Bryson.
And that's not a shocking pick.
Ben Bryson. 11,700?
It's hard to go against it.
Give it to me.
It's hard to.
I mean, it's the guy I think is going to win the golf tournament. So yeah. I kind of built my lineup knowing, I put Bryson in first, built the rest of my lineup knowing that I had an 11,700 in there. That's why I had three guys that were at 7,000, 7,100, and 7,200. But it all evened out, and I was able to get Bryson. I've got a lineup I'm pretty confident in. So, yeah, that's my squad this week.
Yeah, when's the last time Bryson didn't finish in the top 10?
I cannot remember. It was definitely before the break.
A Family Guy joke. When did the Challenger crash?
Yeah, when did the Challenger crash? Yeah.
I believe it was 3 years before that. So anyone, that was one of the old Family Guys too. So way throwback. So then I have one golfer left too, and I'll just throw it out here. Guy who's played very well, even going back to before the break. One, Leonard Palmer, finished third at WGC Mexico. I left the door open wide open for you. So, but Tyrrell Hatton. I'm going. He is 10,700, and I think that, I mean, he's just played so well. He kind of faltered down the stretch a little bit at RBC. Was making some loose swings. I don't know if that'll stick with him by any stretch, but just from what I've seen, like I said, doesn't seem like he plays. It's hard for him to play bad golf, and
he just strikes it so well with the irons.
Well, even going back to looking back in his official world golf rankings, besides a 46th at the DP World Tour Championship in Dubai, hasn't finished outside of the top 18 since the BMW PGA at Wentworth, which is around July or it's right around the PGA. That's the No, that is it, because the schedule messed up. Never mind. So, nevertheless, he hasn't finished outside the top 18 once since around August.
Yeah.
That was the point I was trying to make.
He's been consistently great for nearly a year now, obviously a few months off in there. So, those are our lineups. A lot of quality picks. And if you need a quality roof, you need to call 405-692-4000. That is the number for McRae Roofing. McRae Roofing is the absolute best in the business. Jeff McRae, the owner of McRae Roofing, friend of the show here on the 73rd Hole, use your roof like a canvas. Give them a call at 405-692-4000 or visit them online at McRaeRoofing.com. If it's good enough for Gallardia and Oak Tree, it is good enough for you. That's McRaeRoofing.com. All right, we need to get into our one-and-done picks probably now. You want to do one-and-done picks or you want me to give you my bets first?
Go. You can go with your bets, then we'll do one and done.
Fire off the bets. Okay, so here's what I'm doing. So Bryson's odds this week are terrible, but I really think he's going to win the golf tournament. He's my pick to win the golf tournament. I think he's going to win. So what I did is usually every week I've told you I'm betting 20 on two guys that I feel good about and then five on four guys that I'm just kind of taking flyers on. What I did this week is I just bet six guys at $10 a piece. Not getting the value in Bryson, lay a lot on him. None of these other guys I feel great about. Some long odds in here. So I put 10 on Bryson at 6.5 to 1. I figure if he does win, it at least pays for my bets this week. The odds aren't very good, but I think he's going to win. If he does, it pays for my bets. And the rest of this, I've got pretty good value in here. Got Scottie Scheffler at 35 to 1. That's a bet I'm taking. I mean, he's bound to break through and win eventually, seems like. Mm-hmm. So Scheffler at 35 to 1. I've got very similar to my DraftKings lineup, really. I've got Eric Van Rooyen at 70 to 1. Pretty good value for a guy who makes a lot of birdies. Sebastian Munoz, I've got at 150 to 1. I put 10 on Sebastian Munoz. Taking a flyer, maybe he gets hot, makes a lot of birdies. Doc Redman at 42 to 1. Guy the last 2 weeks has finished 21st and 11th. Finished runner up here last year. So Doc Redman at 42 to 1 is pretty good value. And then Siwoo Kim, a guy who's shown that he can pop and win a golf tournament, regardless of kind of how he's playing. He's 125 to 1. So I've got 10 on Siwoo as well. So there's my six bets this week, $10 a piece. I will be shocked, beside myself, if one of those six guys doesn't win the golf tournament.
Well, if I'm remembering correctly, five of those six are in your ideal DraftKings lineup too, correct?
And
the only one that's not in there is Doc Redman.
It's Doc, yeah.
Yeah, and who replaced Doc?
Doc was replaced by, where is my DraftKings lineup?
You had to go cheap. Well, one of the reasons it asked us, because I was
scrolling. Oh, it was Tyler Duncan. I didn't bet Tyler Duncan to win, right. But I got him at 7,000.
That's right. Yeah, so Doc Redman on DraftKings is 8,500, and I was scrolling through, and I'm like, man, that's a fairly hefty price. He's more expensive than Bazanehut, who I've liked, some guys like Cabrera Bello, Eric Van Rooyen, who you mentioned, high, Snedeker's above him. And so I saw that price, and I was a little interested by it, but looking on it, I mean, like I said, finished second here last year, finished inside the top 21 last three events that made the cut at Colonial. So yeah, I like that bet. What were the odds you got him at? 45 to 1
for Doc Redman. 42
yeah.
to 1.
42 to 1. Yeah, so that'll on a $10 bet.
10 to win 420. Yeah, it's always 420 somewhere. You know,
that's the damn truth right there. So yeah, that's I like those bets. Yeah, you're putting all your eggs in one basket, maybe with the, because you know you've only got seven different golfers that you have affiliated here with DraftKings. So hopefully they're all up there competing for the.
Oh, it's either gonna be a great week and very profitable, or they're all gonna miss the cut and I'm gonna look like an idiot next Monday.
If you win the Washita Valley, it doesn't matter how the picks turned out. You know, so
bingo.
So that's what we're shooting for.
The most important tournament this week is definitely the Washita Valley.
That is the most correct thing that'll be said on this show.
We should do DraftKings for the Valley. We should find the field sheets. We should make prices. We should send it out to everybody and have everybody submit their ideal DraftKings line. Basically, you pick one guy from each flight, and at the end of the week, lowest combined score of your six guys wins the pot.
That would be really cool.
It's a brilliant idea.
That is a brilliant idea. Yeah, we got to get with Max on that. Yeah, that's why they pay you the big bucks, Colby. So, but yeah,
probably a little too short notice to do it this year. Next year, we're doing it.
That's a good. There we go.
I'm taking 10% finder's fee.
All right, so into the one and done picks. You want to go first? You want me to go first?
You want to do our show one and done or our big pool one and done?
Well, so
we got a couple different one and dones.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, we got a lot of different affiliates here. So, for me, I'm kind of just going with the same trend until I find an for our pool, until I find someone that I like who I've already used in the first few events, I'll just stick with the same. I'm going with Hovland in my one and done.
In the big pool or for us?
Both.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll go for him in both. Yeah, I have. I've already used DeChambeau in our pool for Harbortown, where I thought he would win, and I thought about maybe using
wrong.
It was wrong.
Loser.
Yeah.
186K, you though. Suck.
So, I mean, I've some other guys I thought about were Hatton, obviously. Patrick Reed finished good here last year. So, I mean, these were names. And based off of Colby's logic, Patrick Reed will win at some point with no fans, and we're running out of time for that.
We've got two more tries.
He's got to do it at some point.
If he's playing next week, we've got two more tries.
I'll be surprised if that Memorial fan thing doesn't get pushed back. But nevertheless, that's what it is for right now. So those are some of the names that I was looking at for the one and done. But until I find a name that really sticks out to me that I've used in the other pool, I'm going to just stick with it both the same, and I'll go with Hovland. I think that a couple of reasons. One, he played well here last year, obviously been playing so well up until the point. And then the main reason is my dad gives me a lot of slack because he picks the golfer the week after I picked him, because he's like, oh, well, you're just always a week early on your pick. And my dad picked Hovland last week at Travelers, yeah, and finished pretty well. So hopefully my dad is a week late on him, and then it'll work out for me this way. So that's what I'm picking Hovland, because I know in our big, I got a little bit of a lead on our pool, but in the big one and done pool, I need a big jump up.
Yeah, big jump up, as do I. So the reason we're doing two separate is because the other one and done pool goes the entire season, so we've already used a lot of guys
prior to the break. At Kapalua, yeah, is so, when we started.
Yeah, so we'd used, I don't know what that is, 16, 18 golfers, whatever, how many ever tournaments there
16
were.
16 or 18, not, too many for me.
Probably not even that many. But we already used a bunch of guys, so now we're doing one for the show as well, where we start over fresh pool going through the Masters. So actually this morning, I made my one and done pick for our big pool, and it was Victor Hovland. This was before you and I got together. That's who I like this week. Playing well, weak field, seems like a perfect opportunity for him to jump up and have a good week. Again, I don't think that the betting value is necessarily there, but that's just because his odds aren't great. But I still do think that he has a decent chance to perform well this week. So I've got him in our big pool, and then against you, where I'm a little bit behind, by a little bit, I mean 228K through 2 weeks, because I've had two missed cuts. I need a high finish. I need a win. Big Bryson to the rescue.
Okay.
Got to use it. Big dog. I was wanting to save him for a major, but, you know, I think he's going to win the golf tournament this week. And if I use him for 1.3 mil, then I will not sweat not having him for a major.
Well, that's what I thought I was doing at the RBC Heritage, and unfortunately he only got 100 and or two, whatever small amount it was for the
186.
Yeah, so I mean, small amount, small for the one and done, but for him is not too bad of a check. So yeah, run out the big dogs. You need to make a jump up, and I wouldn't be surprised if Hovland doesn't have a good week. I think you're going to jump me, because I don't see Bryson finishing too low in this
event.
Seems
really unlikely he finishes outside the top 10.
Unless he has too many protein shakes and it upsets his
makes
stomach.
Makes him sick.
Yeah, that could be what it is. So
bad attack of the stomach on the golf course. Let me ask you this. A guy that, you know, kind of burst onto the scene, and now we're kind of waiting for him to find his game, is Matthew Wolff. Matthew Wolff finished 54th at Colonial. Two missed cuts since. Missed the cut here last year. 6,800 on DraftKings.
I saw 6,800.
100-1 to win the golf tournament. Matthew Wolff. Is he just trying to find his game right now? I mean, do you think we see Matthew Wolff make a resurgence anytime in the near future?
I mean, we saw it. He didn't look horrible during the exhibition when he played with DJ, Ricky, and Rory. So he didn't necessarily look horrible, but he didn't have his best stuff to say. At least won a couple of long drives, but that was really about all that he was
able. Ricky carried
him.
Ricky
carried the team. Yes,
wasn't sponsored by Rocket Mortgage or Farmers.
Very good point. And so, excuse me. So yeah, at 6,800, you know, someone like last week we looked at, you know, Phil, who was 6,900, and we were both like, oh, stay away from him, you know, because he'd been playing so bad. And next thing we know, he's leading after two rounds. So I mean, this game's so weird. Who knows? Wolff maybe not feeling it now. He may find something on the range this afternoon, and all of a sudden he goes out and, you know, finishes in the top five of the tournament. So it's not something that you know, looking at it on paper, he's someone that I would stay away from. If you're looking at some of the other guys in the same range on DraftKings, you're looking at like Harry Higgs, who I like last week, who missed the cut. Cheston Hadley's around there at 6,800, who's actually made both cuts since he's came back, so he may be a decent value around that part. It's just
by Cheston Hadley, you mean Gabe Lewis, right, from The Office?
Yes, yeah.
Spitting image.
They do look just alike, don't
they? Also plays Jared on Silicon Valley, for those of you who have not watched The Office. Maybe if you watch Silicon Valley. Zach Woods is the actor's name. Google Zach Woods. Do yourself a favor. Zach Woods and Cheston Hadley.
You watch a lot of television.
Man, good shows. Really good shows.
Well, I say television, streaming services, whatever terminology you want to use now. But yeah, back to the Wolff thing. It's someone, like you said, he looked like he's searching for his game. Like we said, we thought Phil was searching for his game. He was right around the same mark. We said stay away. All of a sudden, he's leading the tournament. Had a bad week in the finish, still in the top 15. So, you know, for me, he's someone that I would lean away from. What'd you say his odds were, Colby?
101.
I mean, if you want to lay a couple of dollars on a 100-to-1 guy who's already won on the tour, that's not the Puerto Rico Open, like Victor Hovland, then I could see that. But there's some other names that I would like more than Wolf. And it's one of those things I need to see a little bit of form first before I start buying in again.
I'm kind of with you on that one. Another guy that we need to wish good luck to this week. We need to wish good luck to two guys, both friends of the show, both in the field this week. Taylor Gooch, 7,000 on DraftKings. Also, this is the first event that Reen Gibson is teeing it up in since the break. So best of luck to Reen Gibson teeing it up this week at Detroit.
Yeah, you know, I'll get into some more of my value picks in a little bit. But for Reen, he's a guy that I would, if you're wanting to build a top heavy lineup, kind of like Colby was, this is a guy I think that'll do a hell of a job for you. He is 6,100 on DraftKings. And he is, and like you mentioned, a guy that's a birdie fest. He holds the world record for the lowest score ever shot. So
he shot 55 once upon a time.
That's not a definition of a birdie fest. I don't know what is. So for someone that cheap, no, he has been playing, but he's been able to sit back and enjoy time with his family, which, you know, for us, you know, we know it can help your game more than even just playing. So I really like his chances. I think he is the best value on DraftKings. And also another friend of the show, guy that we really liked last week, Brian Harman, Scott Tway caddy. He did not have his best week last week at a course he had well, but he's 7,900 this week on DraftKings. And I think this is where I think he might've just had an off week. I think I wouldn't be surprised to see Brian rebound as well.
Yeah. If you're looking for a way to run out like Bryson and Webb or Bryson and Hatton in your DraftKings lineup, you're going to have to find a guy like Reen Gibson at 6,100 to do it. So that's where you find your cheap guys with Reen if you're looking to run both those guys out at the top. So what else? We missed anything? Donald Ross designed this week?
I want to get into you see the exhibition match that they're having this afternoon?
No, I did not.
I want to make sure I get the teams right.
What did I miss?
It's Bubba and Harold Varner versus...
Hey, I'll take the other team.
Then Jason Day and Wesley Bryan.
That's tough. That's tough because Jason Day, he might have to withdraw.
That's what I was saying. I was saying there might be a better chance he withdraws than the chance that they actually get it in. But yeah, I think they're having it this afternoon. I believe it's on PGA Tour Live, and I want to say Golf Channel. I may be wrong on that, on the viewership, but definitely make sure to check it out. I think it's only a 9-hole exhibition thing. Not exactly sure if it's for charity or what, but I think that's pretty cool. It'll be, Bubba and Wesley being on opposite teams probably have some pretty cool sound bits
there. And Wesley's actually playing pretty well.
Wesley has been playing well, yeah. And another guy, Harold Varner, he's a guy that I like this week for his value.
Had a chance to win at Colonial. Played well early at Colonial. Didn't faded a little bit on the weekend, but a good player.
Yes. Varner, 7,600. He missed the, like you said, finished 19th there, missed the cut at Heritage, played last week, finished 32nd. For 7,600, kind of a middle of the road pack guy for your lineups. Right around that mark, he's one of the better values I like for that range, along with another guy at 7,600, Maverick McNealy, who I think will play pretty well too. He's played two events, made both cuts, and did not play last week, finished 32nd and 58th two events respectively, and had been playing pretty well up until the point of the stoppage. So I expect Maverick to be another guy who would be a pretty decent value right around that range of middle of the pack DraftKings lineups of guys that you're looking for.
Yeah, I pulled up Detroit Golf Club just on Wikipedia. Obviously, it's a Donald Ross design. We know that. Pretty short course. Pretty sure they've actually got two courses on property. They've got South and North. They're definitely not playing the South, which is a 5,900 yard par 68 track. They're playing the North side, which is par 72, but it only stretches out to 6,936 yards is what I'm showing here. This is one of the easiest, shortest tracks that they'll play all year on the PGA Tour. And one of the reasons I think Bryson's going to win this week, and maybe he runs away with it, maybe he doesn't, but he is just going to bomb it over all of the intended trouble that Donald Ross intended on people having to deal with. He's just going to bomb it over all of that. There is no punishment for not being accurate off the tee here. Very little punishment, I should say. There's always some punishment. Very little punishment for being poor with accuracy here, and you can just bomb and gouge, which is what Bryce is going
to do. Yeah, he made a comment. I think he said a lot of the bunkers are about 290 to carry. And for someone like Bryson, you know, he might be able to do that with his 3-wood currently, you know. So I think you hit the nail on the head there. He's just going to be able to maybe overpower this course. And we had kind of seen it. We had mentioned before, you know, his Saturday woes that Bryson has had. And then, you know, he he could have had better chance to win some of these last tournaments, but obviously having these high finishes are, you know, propelling him to where he needs to be, because he's going to get through and win eventually, you have to imagine, with this new big bulked up look that he has. And so, and from what you're saying there, and if you were a salesman, you'd be selling me on it to a great extent. And Vegas obviously sees it the same way with the odds, with him and Webb being the only two guys better than 15-1.
Yeah, they don't want much liability on Bryson this week, because he is far and away, I shouldn't say far and away, the best player in the field, because actually you can make a pretty strong argument that the best player in this field is Webb Simpson. But Bryson obviously is the hottest name in, and not even necessarily the hottest player, because Webb won his last start, but the hottest name is Bryson.
Yeah.
So Vegas has to take all that into account. Popularity, all that stuff.
Of course. Absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot that goes into it there. Yeah. And so, you know, for into some other the DraftKings lineups that I like, some other guys kind of in the middle tier to even cheaper tier. You know, a guy at 7,800 that I think will play pretty well is Alex Noren. Finished, made the cut at Colonial, finished 21st at RBC Heritage, didn't play last week. Can be a hit or miss type guy, but I think I didn't obviously watch him hit him every shot at RBC Heritage, but I did like what I saw from there, and so I expect him to at least get to the weekend for you. You know,
you know I'm always a Go Pokes guy. Hashtag Go Pokes, pistols firing.
I always forget he went to OSU.
Hashtag Orange Power. I'm not a big Noren guy. He doesn't do a lot for me. Really doesn't. I don't know. Ever since the playoff at the Farmers 2 years ago with Jason Day, the Monday playoff, man, it just kind of seems like his game faded for a while. Don't really know where it went, trying to find it. I'm out on Noren until he shows me a little bit more.
Well, and you could be right there. I mean, I like Noren. Like I said, I always forget that he went to OSU. You know, that's kind of, I mean, it shows the depth of the program. But at the same time, you know, when he was at his peak, he was one of the most underrated players, if not the most underrated player in the game, because I believe he got into the top 10 of the world, or at worst, top 15.
I know for a fact he got to at least 12th. I don't know if he ever got into the top 10, but man, a lot of those world ranking points were not accrued on the PGA Tour. And at the risk of being a Paul Azinger guy, he came over here and didn't have a ton of success. He has not had a ton of success on the PGA Tour. He has not won on the PGA Tour. So, I don't know. It's tough. I go back and forth on Alex Noren. He obviously has a ton of talent, but I need to see more of it on the PGA Tour before he can be a guy that I'm comfortable running out in my lineups.
I understand that. Yeah, and I mean, so even going back to before the break, so he didn't. I actually picked him at the Puerto Rico Open, or I wanted to pull, did not play well there. But even before that, he finished 14th at the Bob Hope. Finished 32nd at Sony. Finished 32nd.
So he's playing a little better.
So he's playing better. And then even going back into the end of last year on the European Tour, he was making every cut. I don't see a whole lot inside of the top 10, but yet still, you know, finishing in the top 20, 25, that kind of thing. And I'm going off of, and we had mentioned he had gotten all the way up to, I want to see if I can find the best. Yeah, so at the end of 2016, he was ranked number 9 in the world, and now he's gotten all the way down to 113. So obviously there has been some slippage of when he was at his best, but kind of like some of these guys that we have talked about, I think that this will be, I don't know if this is necessarily the turning point for him where he's going to get back to that form. I don't know if he'll ever get back to in the top 20 in the world, but he's obviously a hell of a talented player, extremely hard worker. You can see, you know, you Google Alex Noren hands and you'll see the huge calluses that he has because he hits so many balls. So he's a hard worker, and I know he wants to get back at it. So, you know, for someone around that price with a kind of slightly weaker field, that's kind of why I'm leaning towards him. A guy that's right around the same price as him is Brendan Todd, who played obviously very well last week. It's just, I don't know how he'll rebound from the way that he faltered on Sunday afternoon.
Well, and, I mean, if these bunkers are out there at like 280 to 290, the good thing is he can lay up short of all of them with driver.
But it'll hit the fairway.
Yeah, no, well, a lot of these bunkers are probably going to be 270 to the front edge, and that is right in Brendan Todd's wheelhouse. So he's going to have to be much more accurate off the tee than some of the longer hitters who can bomb it over that stuff.
Yeah, it's going to be, it could be, I agree with everything you said on the fact that it's going to be just an absolute birdie fest, and I think that you got to look for guys like that who will do that. So, yeah, even going down, a guy I had in my lineup, Will Gordon, 7,300, I bet he's rostered in probably half of the lineups.
Oh, I bet he's rostered in a ton.
Yeah, because
like you said with the birdie fest, if your guy would have went out last year at this tournament and shot 66 all four rounds at a par 72, would have been good for silver.
Yeah, 1-1.
1-1.
That would have got you minus 24 and would have lost by one.
Birdie fest. Let me ask you about one more guy. I want your thoughts on. It's Tony Finau, because obviously he's not going to win the golf tournament, but could he finish runner-up? That's the question, because Tony Finau is king of the silver. And I just don't know where I stand on Tony Finau. He's a guy that I think gets lost in the shuffle, who, again, incredibly talented. He's going to be able to take it over all of these Donald Ross bunkers. But a guy who won the Puerto Rico Open in, what, 2016? I think it was.
Something like that.
Had one since.
Hasn't won. He almost had it. Webb birdied out on him at Scottsdale.
Webb tends to do that.
Yeah, he does. Webb's a hell of a player.
Stole one from Finau, stole one from Anser.
He doesn't necessarily look pretty, but he definitely does it.
God.
And so
looks like he blocked every shot right and then saved it with his hands at the last second. And it drives me nuts.
He saves it perfect. And so, you know, going back to Finau, he's played all three events since the return, T23 at Colonial, T33 at Harbor Town, missed the cut last week at the Travelers. So he's, like you mentioned, he's a guy that can take it over these bunkers, and he's able to take advantage of his length and get out there on a birdie fest. So for him, I think it'll just be how the putter's rolling, because I think he's going to be able to give himself opportunities with some wedges in hand and give him some birdie looks, just a matter of if he's going to be able to capitalize on them. And I believe
he should go full web and go left arm lock claw.
Well, he's experimented a lot of different things. He's had the big grip, and both of his hands will be parallel to each other. He's tried some different things, and in all honesty, you know, you make fun of him for not winning, and in all honesty, you know, with it, I mean, there's 107 players in here, so he's got a less than a 1% chance to win technically, but at 33-1, I mean, I think that's pretty good odds for a guy.
For one of the better players.
For one of the better players, yeah. So yeah. I think that might be another guy to lay some kind of cheaper coin on. So, I'm probably a little bit more optimistic on Finau than you are, Colby. But going to some of the other cheaper guys, like we mentioned around the 6,800 mark, I think Chesson Hadley would be a fairly decent bet. He's played, like I said, made both cuts that he's played in since the event came back. Seemed like on social media and stuff that he is enjoying time with his family, like we mentioned with Ryan. You know, these are things that can obviously help your game out a lot, and I think that'll propel him to at least get you to the weekend. And you know, scrolling down here a little bit more, we obviously mentioned Ryan at 6,100. And you mentioned someone who was playing good, Colby. You know, Wesley Bryan, who's made last two cuts, finished 24th last week at the Travelers, and he is 6,500 on DraftKings.
Wow.
So I think that's
really good value on Wesley Bryan.
That'd be some fairly good value there for some of those guys. But yeah, with it not being a super stacked field, another guy who's a little cheaper, who I might lean towards, another OSU guy, Christoph Ventura, has finished fourth on the web a couple weeks ago.
Field is loaded with pokes.
Yeah, so he made the cut last week on the web, finished 40-something, didn't really do that well. But for someone who has a top-five finish on a tour recently and is a birdie fest, and he is a bomber himself, Christoph is. So I think, you know, you're looking for kind of like Colby, if you're wanting to do him, build around Bryson and one of those other guys. I think those are some of the values that I like that are, you know, below the 7,000 mark, which is what you need.
I think we've got five Oklahoma State guys in the field this week. We've got Hovland, obviously the best Oklahoma State player in the field, according to the odds, according to DraftKings prices, it's Victor Hovland. And then Ricky is in the field. Noren,
Wolf,
and Ventura. That's five. And Gooch.
Gooch
makes six.
Uline, seven.
Uline makes seven. God, seven.
I mean,
and Howell's not even in the field. Mahan's not even in the field.
No, he's not. I'm trying to scroll through here. I feel like we're missing someone, but I mean, seven. That's incredible. So, yeah, I mean, that's that just goes shoot. But, yeah, those are some of the guys that I like.
Kevin Tway's in the field. That's eight.
Okay, there's another one right there. Gosh dang it. Now, I'm sure we're going to keep seeing even more that we don't remember. But, yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, like I said, there's some other guys. And don't want to shout out all the Michael Gellerman. This is his first tournament in. He's a OU.
Was he in here? Very nice.
OU player. He's bottom of the barrel on DraftKings at 6,000. He might be a guy you want to run out. He hasn't played since the return, I believe. I don't know if he's played on the Corn Fair or anything like that. But I know that Michael's, I played with him a few times, not recently, but when he was younger. I know he's a great player, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him out there and do something with his game. Definitely wasn't in form to start the year once he got off to his card, but I know he's a hard worker. And if you're, like I said, another bottom of the barrel guy, local guy around here, wouldn't be surprised to see him get to the weekend for you.
Oh, by the way, you know who else is in the field? I just saw him all the way at the bottom. Another poke. Bo Van Pelt's in the field this week.
I think Bo played last week too, didn't he?
Yes, he did. He played Thursday and Friday.
Thursday and Friday. Yeah.
He also played at the Travelers. Not the Travelers. The RBC Heritage. Thursday and Friday.
So he's, and I know he's had, he has some sort of injury that always holds, that's been holding him back. So I don't know exactly what that is, but hopefully he can come back. So yeah, we might as well just call it the OSU Invitational.
Yeah, at this point. 9 pokes in the field this week. Good stuff. Good stuff. All right, it's Valley Week. It's Valley time. You're getting a practice round in today. I'm getting one in tomorrow, and then it'll be time to rock and roll. My dad, I guess they posted the flights. My dad just sent me a couple pictures of A flight and B flight. One of your college teammates is in A flight. I'm in B flight. Flights are pretty loaded. There's gonna be some good golf being played.
It's gonna be a fun tournament. I'm really excited for it. Yeah. So in less than 48 hours, you know, we'll be out there teeing it up, and you know, by our next show, which will be next week on Monday, we'll recap everything along with.
We'll have some trophies.
We'll recap with two trophies. Some of our 15,000 in prizes that they're giving out. We'll take some of that very gladly. And then we'll be back on Monday to recap not only the Valley and how much fun that we had, and hopefully people out there listening call down and try to get signed up. Like I said, the flights are filled, but you never know. There may be a guy come fall at the last minute. You never know on that stuff happens. So, you know, make sure to call down there, see if there is an availability for you. But on Monday, we'll be back to recap everything in the Valley and to recap the Rocket Mortgage Classic, where either your pick, Bryson wins, or my pick Hovland wins, because there's no other way around it.
There's just no other way around it. I tell you what, the guy I'm rooting the absolute hardest for this week is Sebastian Munoz, because that's who I bet at 150-1.
That would be very nice.
Him or Siwoo, actually. I've got him at 150 and I've got Siwoo at 125. So if either one of those guys is in contention on Sunday, I'm going to be checking the phone during the Valley.
Well, by your logic, those are two hit or miss guys. So 50-50 shot, one hit, one miss. So maybe one of them hits.
So one of them wins the tournament.
There you go.
I like the way you think. All right, good stuff. That's all for today. We're back next week. Call Bushwood, 405-224-1250. See if you can get your spot in the Ouachita Valley, the oldest tournament in the state of Oklahoma. We're back next week. Enjoy the Rocket Mortgage Classic. Thanks for listening to the 73rd Hole.